I always like to start with people smiling. How many is tired? If you're tired, raise your hand. All right, listen to me. It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. So if you relax a little bit and smile, you begin to just, you know, be more relaxed, all right? All right. My name is Johnny Scroggins. I am the Australasia MFI leader. We're down here working on certain things. But I'm not here in the name of that organization. I recognize I'm in KC City Church, but I'm not here in that name. The Bible tells me where two or three people are gathered in the name of
Jesus.
Where two or three people are gathered in the name of
Jesus.
Where two or three people are gathered in the name of
Jesus.
That He is then in the midst of them.
Amen.
So, Lord, I recognize Your presence. I recognize Your presence. In the kingdom of God, there are three things. There's righteousness, and there's peace, and there's the joy of the Lord. Can I hear an amen there?
Amen.
And so when we experience kingdom, when we experience a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, hey, I know everything's going to be all right because it is righteousness. It is peace. It's the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
All right? And so, not just in my life, but I want it also to be in my marriage. Can I hear an amen there?
Amen.
All right, I want it also to be in my family. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I also want it to be in the local church.
Amen.
I'm here because the Lord is the one that called me to preach.
Amen.
I have something on my heart, and I will share it with all that I can, and I will try to be good. As you know, by my accent, I'm an American. And where I come from, we preach hot and heavy. And that's the truth. But I'm going to try to be good, okay? Because in the very end, I don't want you to see me. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is here right now in this building through the Holy Spirit. And He knows everything about me individually. He knows everything about my marriage. He knows everything about my family. He knows everything about the local church. We call it the omnipresence of God. He is everywhere at the same time. Do you believe that? So there's nothing that's hidden from His eyes. He knows everything. He knows everything. But in the omnipresence of God, let me just share this before I start working on this other. You know, He's there, but sometimes He's not working. Is He everywhere? The answer is?
Yes.
Is He in the pub? True. Is He in the brothel?
Yes.
Oh, God. Is He in Ukraine with all that war and stuff going on?
Yes.
He is, but the problem is people are not listening. They don't have their spiritual radar up to know what is going on The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. My voice. My voice. And so I'm here only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm asking Him through the Holy Spirit to flow through me. And I'm asking for you not to just focus upon the instrument. I want you to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is wanting to say to you individually. What the Spirit of God is wanting to say to your marriage. What the Spirit of God is wanting to say to your family. What the Spirit of God is wanting to say to the local church. What the Spirit of God is wanting to say to our community. All right? And so I'm going to begin just showing something right now. And this is, I'm not going to preach profound today, maybe not. But I want you to look at this right now, all right? Okay, there it is. We can't have it back there too? Oh, you put that up there because I can't look behind me all the time. So the top of my sermon today is what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And I was here for Urban Praise last night, you know, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Amen. And everybody there was talking about my sermon today. And even my fella here was talking about the sermon today. Just want to go. Okay. What the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. But what I want to tell you before I even get to this right now. All right, come on now. Let me see here. Let me get this thing working. Okay, I see what it is. All right, I didn't accept it. The first thing I want you to look at, I want you to know that you are loved. A lot of people don't feel loved today. But you are loved. Number two, you're valuable.
Amen.
You're unique. You're important to people. You're important to God.
Amen.
And I want you to know that you have a purpose. And so much of life with people around, they really won't understand the meaning of life until they realize you were made by God and for God. And you were made by love, and that's why we're always looking to be loved. Do you understand that? So I want you to stand a moment right quick. I want you to stand. And I want you to look to your neighbor right now and you tell him, you're loved, you're valued, and you have a purpose. All right, we're doing well. All right, I'm going to ask you to go one more step, all right? The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. Amen? And if Christ was here, and which He is, through the Holy Spirit, He said, I want you to love one another. And so I'd like for you to hug the person on both sides of you right now to say, God loves you and I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, my Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, this is your service. It's not mine.
Lord, we praise you.
And Lord, every person here is valued this day. Every person here, my Lord, is loved by you. Every person here has a purpose, Lord. And we're so glad for all of you to be here, and Pastors Larry and Krista Sebastian to be here, because every person in the world is loved by God and valued by God and has a purpose. Can I hear an amen there? And only as we find what God wants for us, what His will for us is, then we're able to walk in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Lord, I ask you, my God, Lord, I'm here in your name. I'm here, Lord, representing you this very day. And Lord, with the anointing that you have given me, I pray, my Lord, people will hear your voice. Oh, they will hear your love, Lord. Lord, that they will hear they are valuable, my Lord. And they will hear that they have a purpose, my God. Shandalaboho, kandatalabai. Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, kandatalabai. Kilalaboho, shandatalabai. Kilalaboho, shandatalabai. Hallelujah, my Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. We have been given so much in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no legitimate reason for failing to be an awesome success in life. Because we have so much going for us. If God is for you, what does the Bible say?
Who can be against us?
All right. I want to encourage you with a few of the things that we've been given in Him. Now, I've been pastoring for over 40 years, more like 50 years almost. I've been married to this beautiful woman for 53 years.
Wow. I was 7 when he married me.
Oh, I cast that lying spirit out right now. Nah, I know what she's doing. I like just to have a little bit of fun, just a little bit, you know. All right. And I wish I could tell you that we've never had a problem in our marriage at all.
Jesus. Help us, Lord.
So I don't want to have any problems in marriage. All right, don't get married.
It's right.
Very simple, don't get married. But it will cause other problems.
Yes.
If you don't get married.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right, I said, all right, I don't want to have any problem with my children at all. Don't have children then. Don't have children. I hear parents sometimes tell me, they said, man, if I knew this was going to happen to my kids, I wouldn't have had the kids at all. You know, just like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Some of you ever felt like that? Especially during teenage years? Babies are so sweet and so innocent. Oh, yes. But somehow they grow up and they start expressing their will so quickly. Do you understand that? All right. And say, all right, so, oh, God, have mercy. We have problems in marriage. We have problems in, oh. Did you ever fight with your brothers and sisters when you were growing up? The only way you don't fight with somebody is they're not there, right? True. All right. But in life, there's always difficulties. Even the disciples of Jesus at times got in trouble. Right before the crucifixion, they began to fight amongst themselves who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Then what did he do? He knelt down and began washing the disciples' feet. If the Son of God can kneel down and humble himself, don't you think that we can sometimes kneel down and humble ourselves?
We can.
We can. Oh, thank you. What is your name? Marie, bless you, Marie. All right, bless you. All right, so in all of this, what I'm trying to say is in every sphere of areas, we will have difficulties this time. Only when we're gathered really in unity. And then, you know, where two or three people are gathered together in my name and gathered in unity, that's when God can begin move, not just his omnipresence, but then his manifest presence can come. What I want you to know, that there is a person, you know, the Bible talks about that the devil, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill you individually. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy everything that the Father has made, what the Lord Jesus Christ has made. True. That's why the Bible tells me to fight the good fight of
faith.
Fight the good fight of
faith.
Fight the good fight of
faith.
Says our fight is not against flesh and blood. Anytime we start fighting individuals, anytime you start fighting with your wife, the Bible tells me that when there's disagreements between the husband and the wife, the Bible says their prayers are hindered.
That's right.
Now, I know some people, because I've been pastoring for so long, they said, I haven't talked to my wife in 3 days. I haven't talked to her in a week. I haven't talked to her in a month's time. All right, and so all the prayers that you're sending up, the Lord says, I can't answer them because there's no unity. Well, but she offended me. Well, it may be true, but you have got to learn to forgive her. Because what I've learned is this. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You just have two imperfect people that do not give up on each other. Two imperfect people that do not give up on each other. And so in our 53 years of marriage, oh, We've had some late night conversations.
We work it out.
The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Is that what it says? As a pastor, I give pastoral counseling all the time, you know, and this is what the anointing is for me. And so we've had to do that because I know that God can't command the blessing on my marriage unless we are in unity.
Amen.
Amen. And I've also learned it takes the most mature one to start the process. I had a woman tell me one time, Pastor, how come I'm the one that always has to go to my husband? And I looked at her, it's because you're the more mature Christian at this time. You didn't like that one. All right. Why the man then always has to go? You know, because it takes the most mature person to realize we're not in unity. And God can't command the blessing when there's no unity. And when there's no unity, the devil can work because we've given him a place. And we've worked things out because we haven't given up on each other. If I look for a divorce, if you look for a divorce, you can find a divorce. All you got to do is focus upon the negative things of the person. That's it. And you don't realize they've got some good attributes and everything else. You just look upon all the negative, and before you know it, you'll have a divorce. True? All right. In John chapter 1 and verse number 12, John chapter 1, verse number 12 here. Okay, go backwards here. I see it over here on this side now. All right. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. The New Living Translation. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. The right. When I look at Jesus, I find perfect theology in him, because Jesus he's wanting us to imitate his life. Can I hear an amen there? Say, Pastor John, but sometimes we don't make it. I know that. That's why we keep on asking the Lord, forgive us, and Lord, help us to grow up a little bit more. But here, the Lord is saying now that if we receive him, I don't care what the devil is saying, and I don't care what people are saying. The Lord says, I'm giving you the right. I'm giving you the exousia. I'm giving you the right to become my child. Now, I want to show you, look, I always prepare my sermons in a local church on Saturday night. I get up Sunday morning and start changing things. I'll be honest. I'll start changing things. All right? Because I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to show you this. I want you to look at Jesus right now. This is found in John chapter 1. Verses 14 down to verse 17. Talking about Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me.' And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Could I hear an amen? Amen. So here Jesus is full of two things. He's full of grace and He's full of truth. If He wasn't full of grace, you and I wouldn't be here today. Because the truth is, we were all born in sin. We all have a past. All of us have things that we've done in the past. And if the Lord did not have grace for us, and there was only truth for us, we would all die and go to hell. Amen, amen, amen. It's the truth. So, Pastor, even you? Yes, I had a past. We all had a past. None of us were born angels. Some of us may look and say, "Oh, but you over there, you're one of those goody two-shoes, you know." Yeah. I heard a wonderful testimony last night by, what was her name, Clara?
Maureen
last night said she'd grown up inside the church, but you know, sometimes she had a double life inside the church and then the other side, all that kind of stuff. And the truth is, she needed grace, but the truth is, I need grace, and the truth is, you needed grace. So He's full of it. He's full of grace, and He's full of truth. There can be people full of grace and no truth. And then we become what Kevin Connor would say, the greasy grace. Hey, don't worry about how you live. Hey, God forgives you no matter what. Keep on sinning. Keep on doing all this stuff that you want to do. Don't worry about it. The grace of God. But more than just the grace of God. He's full of grace and He's full of truth. Can I hear an amen?
Yes.
But truth without grace can be very mean. The classic example for me is the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees knew where she was. I don't know how they knew where she was. I don't know how they knew where she was. I don't know where the brothels are where I live. I know of one because we used to do prayer time around, but I don't know anything about all the other places. But they knew exactly where this woman was. Do you understand that? And now, last night, as I was thinking about this, hey, they come to try Jesus. They come to test him. And they say, oh, the law of Moses right now says that she's guilty and we need to stone her to death. Was she guilty according to the law? And the answer is? By the law, is she commanded to be stoned? And the answer is, and they had people with their stones ready. Hey, I got some stones. Hey, we killed some before. We're going to clean this stuff up. Hey, get the stones. Got my stone ready. The Bible says that when Jesus heard that, he just knelt down and began writing on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. I've heard all kinds of things about what he wrote, but I don't know what he wrote. He didn't say what he wrote. All right. And so he wrote down, and finally he got up, and he says, he that has no sin, let him throw the first stone. And then he knelt back down again. We don't know what he wrote, what he said. Oh. Let me show you where this is. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh, not there. I'll just tell the story. All right. Got too much in my mind. All right. And so the Bible says that when the people heard it, they were convicted. Because who doesn't have sin in their life? Two types of major sins. The sins of commission, the things that you do that you shouldn't do, and the sins of omission, the things that you should do but that you didn't do. Sinless perfection only belongs to God. Amen. Sinless perfection only belongs to God. The older I get in the Lord, I sin less, but I'm not sinless. Do I still have a blue with my wife occasionally, even after 53 years of marriage? And the answer is?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, don't get sanctimonious right here. You do too now. All right. All right. Do I still have a problem sometimes in my family? Do I have a problem with myself sometimes?
Yes.
I needed grace. We needed grace. Because without Jesus, none of us would go to heaven. Without Jesus, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Eternal life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear it? Amen. But I also need truth. And Jesus got up, and now all the accusers are gone. Now all the ones with the stones have put the stones down because they're now examining their hearts. Hey, it's great to feel righteous, but sometimes righteous anger does not work for God. Be angry, but sin not. And when you want to throw stones, hey, be careful who you're throwing them. All right, I didn't. Oh, you didn't like that one either. Okay. All right.
Jesus got up. He looked to the woman. Hey, they didn't bring the man.
The man should have been stoned too, all right? You didn't like that. All right. The man should have been stoned too.
Yes.
Right, one more time. I said the man should have been stoned too.
Amen.
The man said, oh, no. Yeah. Both of them were guilty. They were caught in the very act. That means two people were caught at the same time. They brought the one to test Jesus. And Jesus comes along and said, all right, where are your accusers? He says, they've all gone. Your message, Jesus, they've all gone. And then what did Jesus say? Go. I don't condemn you either. Go. That's called grace. But then truth. Go. And sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Is that what he said? He is full of grace and he's full of truth. He's full of grace and he's full of truth. We as his children, God wants us to be full of grace and full of truth. Because I realize I need God's grace. I need his truth. Amen. The work of the Holy Spirit is to keep leading me and guiding me into all truth. Tell me amen. And so I need to be led. And Lord, how can I have a better marriage, Lord? How can I have a better family, Lord? How can I have a better local church, Lord? How can I help in the community, my Lord? Why? Because I need that. I said, I need that. Because without God's love, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. He doesn't hate the world. That's why I look to every person here and say, you're loved by God. Jesus didn't die for us because we were saints. The Bible said he died for us when we were still yet sinners.
Yes.
Amen. So I can look to the sinner with all my heart and say, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. Jesus died for you. Yes, you're loved, you're valuable, and you have a purpose. And every person here, you're loved by God, you're valuable by God, and you have a purpose in your life. Oh, a valuable purpose in your life. But he wants us to be like him once again, full of grace. And full of truth. That means when I recognize I've offended my wife, I need to go to her. Sweetheart, I'm sorry. Is it easy for you to tell your spouse you're sorry? Last year I was preaching in a big Samoan church in Auckland. And Larry, it blew me away. This was the biggest Samoan church I'd ever been in. There's about 2,000 people there. I had known the pastors 30 years ago. I was there when they got married and stuff. And I had lost contact completely. And then we initiate contact, and there, I don't know, you know, there's 2,000 people inside this building at the same time, and they're treating us like royalty. God have mercy. Their worship is fantastic. They got stuff that I've never seen, you know. Oh, last night with Urban Praise, that fellow, he had a tube in his mouth. I've never seen anybody in the worship, you know, in the band having a tube in the mouth. And I'm being honest. I'm showing my age right now, all right? And so he had a tube in his mouth, and I didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't know if he was drinking, if he was thirsty, you know, and needed a little drink of water, you know. What? You did too? Ah! So I saw that thing in his mouth. I didn't know. Okay, carnal nature was. He's smoking something, you know. I don't know what he's doing. All right, but I just know what it was. And finally, you know, he begins singing, and the voice changed. Oh, that's what that is. And so after the church service, I went up to, can you please tell me what that instrument's called? Because I have never seen that at all. He looked at me. He's 40 years of age. I've almost doubled that. Not quite doubled that.
Still a while,
yeah. All right. I am 72, so he's 40 and I'm 32 years, you know. He said, oh, well, this thing came out in the 80s. I said, look, that's not been my scene. I don't know anything about that stuff. You know, I've grown up in church to a certain degree and love the Lord, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so I said, what is that? He said, that is a talk box. I never heard about a talk box. And so it made a different sound, diversity of music and stuff. I said, that's fine with me. But I said, but it showed my age. It showed my age, all right? And so I don't know everything. I listened to it. I liked the different sound. And it made, you know, made a difference. Young people loved it and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm young at heart. Bless you. All right. And so I'm young at heart, and so I asked him what it was. He told me a talk box. There's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says, love never fails. I made a covenant with her 53 years ago. Not a contract. I made a covenant with her 53 years ago. In good times, she's with me. In bad times, in difficult times, changing countries, going to different places, selling everything that we had at least 3 times, I think it is, moving all over the world, Costa Rica, from the U.S. to Costa Rica about to come back over here, coming to Australia. She has been with me during the good times. She's been with me when at times there'd be problems with inside our local church and people would walk away and everything else. She has been right there. My family, 3 daughters, 3 sons-in-law, 9 grandchildren. The 10th one's in heaven. Love never fails. Lord, let me learn to love like you do. Let me learn, Lord, not to focus upon the negative things of everybody, because I can focus on so much negativity that I don't see anything positive with anybody at all. But Lord, the way you focused upon that lady that was caught in the very act of adultery, Lord, you look beyond the circumstance. You look beyond, Lord, what had happened. You look beyond that, my Lord, and you saw her need. And Lord, you died for her. And Jesus said, all right now, I'm going to give you grace and I'm going to give you truth. I don't condemn you either. Go. Grace. And sin no more. Truth. As a child of God, realizing that I can still fail, realizing I can sometimes lose my temper with my spouse or vice versa. Sometimes we can have a problem inside our family. It's true or not. Sometimes there can be a problem in other locations. But I need grace and I need truth. And Jesus is the only one that gives me grace and truth. People tell me at times, and I tell people, I said, look, you can come to church looking for a Judas and you can find one. Out of 12, one was a Judas. Can I hear, is that true or not? Am I lying or not? Amen. Well, let me just make it simple right now, all right? Out of 12, there was one, right? Let me just make it easier, make it simple. Let's say 1 out of 10. So if you got 20 people inside the church, how many Judases do you have? Two. If you got 30 people inside the church, how many Judases do you have? I just make it simple, all right? If you have 100 people inside the church, how many Judases do you have? If you got 1,000 people inside the church, how many people Judases do you have? 100. Oh. God have mercy. The good southern boy said this way. Excuse my southern English right now, all right? He said, the bigger the dog, the more the fleas. That's what he said, all right. All right. So, Pastor, am I built to have 1,000 people when I have difficulty with one? Can I handle 100 Judases when I'm having difficulty with 5? God's promise. And I'm going to come to close in just a few moments. He said, Johnny, I promise you, I'm never leaving you nor forsaking you. In the Greek, it's seven negatives, 3 in the beginning, 4 at the end. I am never, never leaving. I am never, 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 never forsaking you. The only one that's promised me to go all the way to the end is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you here may have had a broken relationship, and the promise, the person that loved you and you thought, you know, that you loved them, sometimes people come along and change what they say and a relationship is broken and it hurts you, it hurts you, it hurts you. If there's children involved, it hurts the children, it hurts everything. God have mercy. Can I tell you another story?
I didn't find anything on the web for.
Siri.
She interrupts me all the time. God have mercy. Oh, my Lord. Let me try to fix this up. Look there. I got it on silent right there, and it's still talking. True story. Young fellow in the church celebrating his 21st birthday. He invited the church people to come, and we went. But then his dad and mom are divorced, and they're seeing different individuals. So the dad comes in with his girlfriend, and the mother comes in with her boyfriend. And immediately when they come in, the atmosphere changes. No unity. Confusion. Blended families are tough. Sometimes it's not your fault, I understand. But blended families are tough. My wife and I, we go with our family once a year on a family holiday. And we take all 17 of us. And it's my family. I don't have another child from somewhere else. She doesn't have another child from somewhere else. So I'm dad, she's mom. I'm granddad, she's Nana, and we go on a family holiday. We eat together at nighttime. We go to the pool, we go to the beach. I don't go to the beach too much because I am too white. This beautiful brown skin, you know, God have mercy. I go to the beach and come out like a lobster, you know. Burnt. They said, no, I'm against that religion. Oh, I'm getting burnt, you know. So, Lord, have mercy. And so, but we go, and it's my family. Have there been some disagreements sometime? Yeah. Something comical. This year, the girls, Clara and the three girls, there's four of, you know, and three girls, their three sons-in-law, they take different turns cooking, you know. So, all right, we eat breakfast, you know, because people get up at different times. We eat breakfast at different times and sometimes lunch different times. But we always have the evening meal together. And so each one of them comes along and says, all right, I'll do this, I'll do this. And during this last term time, you know, there was, each one cooked. It was an uneven day, and I said, all right, I'll cook. That's exactly what she did right there. And my three daughters started laughing too. Yeah, some men like to cook. Do I have any men here like to cook, do a barbecue? Oh, I speak blessings upon you, blessings upon you. All right, speak blessings upon you. But I said, all right, I can do something. Dad, oh, I said, I know I used to work, you know, with people with disabilities. I know how to cook. No, Dad, no. We don't want you to cook. I felt deflated there. Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to just give grace, you know. But they knew the truth was I'm not a good cook, you know. And so at the very end, they said, oh, no, we'll do something different. Okay. So I'm never going to volunteer to cook again. The verse that you were talking about in Isaiah 61. It's on my list. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you,
one of the things he says, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. As children of God, full of grace and truth, we've come to heal the brokenhearted. We've come to heal. He said, I've come to heal those that are oppressed. Jesus went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. Sometimes in our marriages we're broken and we need healing. Sometimes you may be broken individually. You need healing. Sometimes your family may be broken and you need healing. Sometimes there's difficulties inside the local church and we need to be healed. I said, we need to be healed. I said, we need to be healed. And how do I get to be healed?
Through Jesus.
Through Jesus. I want somebody to come. Larry, play the keyboard, please. I don't know if it's connected. I don't know either. I just...
Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, kandatalaboho. Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, kandatalaboho, shandatalaboho, shandatalaboho, shandatalaboho. Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, shandatalabaya. Kilalaboho, shandatalaboho, kandatalaboho, shandatalaboho, kandatalabaya.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, we recognize your presence here right now through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are full of grace. Oh, hallelujah, my Lord, and you're full of truth. Grace and truth, my Lord. And Lord, and I know there may be individuals here this very morning that are broken through the life circumstances, my Lord. Maybe there's been a relationship breakdown, my Lord, in their life. Oh, maybe there's been, Lord, a healing that hasn't happened to them right now. Maybe they're fighting depression, my Lord, through the circumstances that their life is in right now. And Lord, I proclaim that you're the only healer. You're the healer, Lord. You're the healer, Lord. God, and I pray for marriages this morning, my Lord. I pray for marriages this morning. I pray, my God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, my Lord. I pray for forgiveness, my Lord, between husbands and wives, my Lord. Oh, I pray for grace and truth, my Lord, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name.
Lord, I pray for families that are splintered, my Lord. I pray for blended families, my Lord. Oh, I pray for single parent families, my Lord. You're the healer, my Lord. You're the healer, my Lord. You are the healer, my Lord. I would like right now for anybody here individually, if you feel like you're broken, you can't handle it yourself, you can be under so much pressure that the pressure will affect you mentally, it will affect you physically, it can affect you spiritually. I've come to tell you in the name of Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. And He's the same forever. And He's still the healer. He's still the healer. We come to Him. We come to Him. Maybe your marriage is going through a difficult time. Maybe your family is going through a difficult time. But if you would like to have some prayer, I'd like for you to stand and come to the front, and we're just going to love on you and pray for you. How many need to come? Come right now. There's others that need to come. You know, the Lord is knocking at your door. Oh, casting all your cares, all your anxieties. Where? Upon Him, because He cares for us.
Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who loves us. And Lord, I pray for my brother.
Lord, I pray for healing right now. Healing in the heart, my Lord. Shandalaboho kandatalabaya. Kilalaboho shandatalabaya. Kandatalaboho shandatalabaya. Kilalaboho shandatalabaya. Kandatalaboho shandatalabaya. Kilalaboho shandatalabaya. Lord, you're the healer. You're the healer. You're the healer, my Lord. Kandalaboho shandatalaboho kandatalabaya. Kandatalaboho shandatalabaya.
Restore unto Him, O God. Restore the joy. Restore the joy.
Kilataboho kandatalabaya. Shandatalabaya.
Hallelujah.
Lord, from the top of His head.
Ora.
down to the soles of his feet. Lord, flood him with your presence. And with your presence right now. Oh, my Lord. We cast it all upon you, Jesus. He's not made to carry it. Yes, Lord.
I speak your joy, your strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Ki la 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 boho, shanda ta la boho, kanda ta ki la la boho, shanda ta la bahaya. You, Lord. You, Lord. You, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
It's right here, my life is here, and I'll be your living
sacrifice. Lord, I lay my hands in blessing.